All right. Bob McChesney is professor of communications at the University of Illinois and a leading media scholar. He's the author, most recently, among many books, of Digital Disconnect and co-author with John Nichols of Dollarocracy. With Nichols, he co-founded the media reform group Free Press. Now, Robert McChesney is a very, very highly regarded professor. He is someone who packs lecture halls. He is famous among his peers. But the thing about Bob McChesney that's so impressive is that he is a public intellectual. He is not content just to be an academic star. He does a regular radio show on community radio in Madison, Wisconsin. He is on our board. He has been a true friend and close advisor to the Progressive magazine. He cares a lot about what's happening to media and to democracy in this country, and he's doing something about it, whether it's testifying before Congress, whether it's coming out and talking to people and helping. He is a guy who cares about the public, and I am so proud and so impressed by him. So without further ado, I give you Bob McChesney.
Well, that introduction was great, Ruth. I didn't mean to cut you off. You were going strong there. They usually invite me to events like this to be the Grim Reaper. I'm the guy who does the research on how awful everything is. For example, our media system, it's terrible. We all know that. It covers the stories horribly. I'm the guy who writes the books about that. Or how about the fact that we don't have any journalism left, that basically all the jobs are dried up. So a lot of the shenanigans that goes on between commercial interests and corporate interests and special interests with politicians isn't covered anymore. No one's covering it. There's no one on the beat. I'm the guy who writes about that. That's my beat. I'm here to tell you how great that is. Or how about the fact that our economy is stagnant and there aren't jobs for young people and there's downward pressure in wages and the future looks awfully grim and poverty is growing. I'm the guy who writes about that. So you can see that's why they told me to wear black today. Or how about the fact that the internet's not going to solve our problems? It's not going to resuscitate journalism. In fact, it's helping to kill it. And it's not certainly saving our economy. It's not saving jobs, despite all the rhetoric. And then, with my good friend John Nichols, I'm the guy who writes about how we're no longer a democracy. We're a dollarocracy. We're a society in which it's $1, one vote, not one person, one vote. And that's the great crisis of our time. It's leading to denigrated elections, corrupt governance, and a situation where all the great problems this country faces, which are very solvable, can't be solved through our political system because money owns it and money doesn't want to solve the problems. I'm the guy who writes those books. And now you understand why they never let me speak in buildings where I speak above the second floor for fear people will jump out the window. They keep me at ground level for all my talks. Now, ironically, as I say that about what a downer I am, people who know me know I'm probably the most optimistic person in the world. The reason I write those books because I think these are solvable problems. And I know we can solve them. And I think the truth is that we have to understand the problems to solve them. So we have to be honest about what we face. We can't doctor it. We can't water it down. We've got to go to the exact nature of the problem. The truth, as the adage goes, will set you free. Now, there's something else I know that gives me power, that gives me energy, and that gives me tremendous optimism. And that is, as you study how people in power work, from the Koch brothers to the hedge fund managers to the bankers to the politicians they floss their teeth with, as you study these people, the one thing that they all have in common is they understand the first thing they want to do is demobilize people. They want to make you feel powerless and apathetic and that it's hopeless. Because they know if you take yourself out of the game, they don't have anything to worry about. And as long as they're committed to that prospect, then I know that they understand something. We've got the numbers on our side. We've got the great bulk of the population with us. They're the minority. But if they get us not to play the game, they're going to win the game. And right now, what we're seeing is that it's getting much more intense. The crises are growing. People are getting much more concerned. And so we're seeing something we haven't seen in this country for decades, an explicit attempt to get people not to vote, to repress the vote. They know they can't win a fair election. They know they've got to keep the voting turnout rate down to 30, 35, 40, 40% to win an election. If 70% of the people voted in this country, these bums would be out of jobs. They would be. It's that simple. I also am optimistic because I see how much money these corporations spend on massive public relations campaigns to confuse us. They are not content to have a free marketplace of ideas. They are not content to have a level playing field debate. They've got to own the board and make sure they set the terms of the debate and how we understand issues, because they know they can't win a fair fight. They've got to doctor the fight and rig the fight. That gives me encouragement. If they thought, hey, we can just tell the truth and these chumps will go along with it, I'd be concerned then. Then I would be depressed. But they know they can't do that. They've got to spend a fortune on public relations. So that should give us all strength. We've got the numbers on our side. We keep at it. We do our work. We deal with people directly. We will win. But there's one other thing. It is an applause line. Thank you. There's one other factor that gives me great encouragement going forward, and that is that I'm not a cynic, and I don't think everyone who has a job in public office is a bum, a crook, a thief. Far from it. We're going to have some of the greatest public officials in our country speak today at this podium, I'm glad to say. And the person who's about to follow me here is someone who's inspired me. His name is Michael Copps. He is the former member of the Federal Communications Commission for 10 years. And I can say, as someone who's studied the Federal Communications Commission for my research, for my livelihood, he probably has the honor of being the single most distinguished member of that body in its 70 or 80 year history. Now, I have to also admit, Michael, being the most honorable member of the FCC, sort of like being, you know, the best ice hockey player in Malaysia. There's really not a lot of competition for that award. But having said that, I've gotten to know Michael Copps. He's probably the only member of the SEC who, upon leaving office, didn't go on to a seven-figure-a-year income working for a hedge fund that's doctoring telecommunication deals, but in fact is working for Common Cause. He's working with the public interest community to represent us, democratic values, and build a communication and media system that represents us, not investors on Wall Street and hedge fund dudes. So it's my honor now to turn the podium over to Michael Copps. Please join me in welcoming him.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning. Thank you, Baraboo. And let's hear it one more time for fighting Bob McChesney. What a champion for media that could enhance our democracy instead of corrupting our democracy.